veteran is someone who at one point in their life wrote a blank check made payable to the United States of America for an amount up to and including their life. Welcome to Common Valor, real stories from those who served in America's military, brought to you by Vetflix, a leader in documenting and sharing the veteran experience. Today's story was part of a veteran workshop celebration hosted at the Currier Museum of Art in Manchester, New Hampshire. Over 3 months, veterans prepared their stories and then delivered them to a live audience.
Curtis Graham grew up in New Hampshire and served in the Marines as a combat engineer from 2010 to 2014. His story shows how the time he spent in a small outpost in Afghanistan altered his life and shaped his relationships at home.
This is a short piece called Valor. It's kind of looking at the notion of every veteran a hero. It was in the news. On a bright summer day in Helmand Province, Lance Corporal Wiki did his duty and killed an insurgent. A suicide bomber drove a truck loaded with explosives into the berm of Outpost Shirgazi. Wiki returned fire, then applied a tourniquet to someone's wounded leg. He earned a combat action ribbon, a commendation medal, and a valor device. He was promoted to corporal, then sergeant, and he re-enlisted. Before we deployed, Wiki told me he was getting out as soon as possible, that his contract couldn't expire fast enough. I first met Wiki at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. I was a private first class with a single chevron on my shoulder. I had orders to report to an office inside a warehouse, and the corporals told Wiki to show me around. He was small, with a round head and big brown eyes like someone's kid brother. He brought me to a wall locker covered in dents and boot prints. He opened the door and pulled out a plastic cowboy hat. "Check out this bad boy," he said. He dusted it off affectionately and wrapped it with his knuckles. OSHA approved. Outside, Wiki led me to the far corner of the lot where rusty forklifts were parked in a row. He began to tell me about his dad. "Yeah, he was Secret Service for a while before he got contracted for Blackwater. You know, spec ops." He pulled out a camouflage wallet and opened it with a rip. He handed me a black business card with a longhorn skull. It said Robert P. Wiki, Blackwater operative, with a phone and fax number. "There's no address," I said. "And why is there a fax number?" The card felt like printer paper. "Obviously ain't no address," he said. He took the card from me, stuffed it back into his wallet. "Works where he wants, when he wants, my old man." "How much does he make doing that?" I said. He took a while to answer, like he was making something up. Then he told me, $20,000 a week. "Bull crap," I said. Wiki sucked his finger and felt the wind. The sun was setting. "About that time," he said. We walked to the formation for dismissal, and Wiki realized he'd left his blouse out back. He was wearing a green t-shirt with a toothpaste stain shaped like a lollipop. The corporals made him stand in his own formation for a while, facing a brick wall. I'd been in Afghanistan for 3 months on an outpost called Shukvani. The base was situated in a depression surrounded by hilltops. The day Wiki arrived, he threw rocks at the windshield of the forklift I was driving and shattered it in 3 places. The sergeant major sent him away to Outpost Shirgazi. In the early months, I photographed things there. I had a mattress and a metal bunk frame, a luxury, and I took a picture of it. The previous occupants had left us a mini fridge, a black love seat filled with knife punctures, and a small TV. I took pictures of the sun setting behind an abutment, helicopters landing at night, a frozen steak grilling on wire mesh over burnt wood scraps. I uploaded the images to my Facebook profile. One night, a short burst of gunfire woke me up. The noise echoed around the base and everything stopped. It was quiet. I climbed out of bed and pulled on my flak jacket and helmet. The radio crackled with chatter. "Everyone to the berm now," said the voice of the sergeant major. Outside, dust blew in the breeze. The ground was pale blue with moonlight. We sprinted across the packed gravel of the helicopter pads. I imagined I might shoot and kill someone tonight. Then I stopped imagining. I racked my bolt while I ran, chambering around. I reached the berm and lay against the baked earth. I caught my breath. Nearby, I heard a radio. Someone spoke. They told us that a small convoy operated by the Afghan National Army, our allies, had parked just outside the base. They were on their way to another part of the desert and needed to pass through. They had no radios, so they fired their AK-47s into the air to get our attention. We were not in danger. I walked alone across the crushed stone back to the tent. I lay awake on my mattress and felt nauseated from unspent adrenaline. I listened to mice as they ran around the tent, invisible, chewing holes in things and attacking one another over food scraps, their tiny screams. I awoke when the sun shone through a rip in the canvas by my eye. The next day, I went to the computer tent and logged into Facebook. I checked my album titled Afghan 2013 for likes. People had commented on my pictures of our small television, the mattress, the single steak. Someone wrote, "Wow, really roughing it over there." I deleted each of the pictures, then the album entirely. A month passed before the big explosion happened. It felt nearby and sudden. It was like a punch of breeze, a gentle concussion. Across the desert, at this moment, Wiki was becoming a hero. When the deployment came to an end, we kicked the sand from our boots and flew home in cargo planes. They searched every other bag for rocks and vials of moon dust. "Leave the country how you found it," they told us. Back at Camp Lejeune, I found Wiki sitting in a pickup truck outside the warehouse. He'd used his deployment cash to buy a black Chevy with four rear tires. We got talking about Shergazi. "No one believes me, man." He reached up and slammed the truck door. I'd read the official report on the division website, and I'd heard from others who had been there. Private Cody talked about how Wiki just shucked a bunch of rounds from his magazine so that later it would look like he'd returned fire. Rucker said he saw Wiki crouching beneath a truck, covering his ears during the firefight. Wiki stood in front of me and twisted his toe in the dirt. He told me that last week he'd been eating a sandwich at Chick-fil-A when someone dropped a tray of dishes. He ducked beneath the table and barricaded himself behind chairs. People laughed at him, he said. I'd been out of the Marines for 6 months. I grew my hair long and wore flannel shirts. I was studying literature in college and had recently signed up for a course in war poetry. On my way to classes, I walked past the campus veterans lounge. It was an oversized closet with a computer desk and a silver mini-fridge with Capri Suns for the veterans to drink. The students inside laughed often. I never went inside. Most of them wore combat boots with blue jeans. They wore T-shirts from the units they'd been in, with pictures of skulls smoking cigarettes, aces of spades, fanged dogs. In the poetry classroom, students took turns reading from stanzas from a war poem. It was about a veteran walking through aisles and seeing weaponry and household items. The students sat in a circle reading aloud. In the poem, a box tips over, and nails trickle out like shell casings from a machine gun. Paint spills and expands like a puddle of blood. A student read a stanza about dead soldiers lying on the conveyor belt at the cash register. I listened to the description of the body. A year ago, I had been standing in a medical tent watching an Afghani civilian dying. He had fainted from blood loss. He was naked with a catheter inserted. His toes were all crossed over themselves, and he had gashes that peeled and showed the muscle beneath. I watched the Navy corpsman bustle around, wearing tied-on paper scrubs over their camis. At the far end of the tent, a little girl lay on a plywood table. She would soon have her legs removed. She would live. On the wall were x-rays of her femurs and pelvis. I saw the faint gray silhouette of her flesh on the outside, cracked white bone on the inside. She had stepped on a doormat bomb the day before. The man in bed would die after amputation. The next day, I would drive a forklift and carry a cardboard box containing his legs and those of the little girl to the pit where they would be burned. I'd drop them off, and I'd smell them burning as I drove away. In the poem that was being read, none of the shoppers see what the narrator sees. I set my photocopied page on the table because my hand was shaking. I looked around the room and was conscious of my heart beating in my ears. The students kept reading and reading. I grabbed my bag and left the classroom before it was my turn. I walked down the hallway, touching the wall at intervals. It was cool beneath my fingertips. My next class was American Education, where we were giving presentations about our personal communities. I went first, and I kept mine generic, my family, my friends. There was no camouflage in my slideshow pictures. I clicked through the photos as I talked. A camping trip, my uncle's 78 Nova. I imagine it wouldn't take much to make them think I was someone, a person of valor. I'd just have to show the right pictures, ones with sand and smoke in them. I could tell them the story of how Wiki became a hero. I could talk about the sound and the blood and the way it felt afterwards. I could be anybody. I could be Wiki. It wouldn't have mattered what I told them, really. They would still applaud for me. They might even call me a hero.
For more veteran stories, visit vetflix.org. Subscribe, rate, and review at iTunes. And thanks.